Welcome to Siemens Digital Industry Software Podcast Series on Advanced Machine Engineering, brought to you by the Siemens Thought Leadership Team. My name is Bill Butcher, and I am currently the marketing leader for the industrial machinery and heavy equipment industries at Siemens Digital Industry Software, and will be their host for this podcast series. Innovations with industrial machinery and manufacturing are seeing groundbreaking technological advancements. Today, in our third podcast of the series, we will learn the advantages that advanced machine engineering brings to the industrial machinery manufacturers. And more specifically, we will focus on the discussion today around virtual machine simulation and commissioning, and how machine manufacturers are implementing this approach to improve the quality and reduce delivery time for highly complex machines. I want to welcome again our expert in the series, Bill Davis, who is the Director of Industrial Machinery and Heavy Equipment Solutions at Siemens. Bill has over 30 years of experience in engineering and operations management, and has spent the last 20 focused on the industrial machinery industry. So, Bill, welcome. So I've got a few questions on this topic. In our last two podcasts, if I could summarize, we talked about the evolution of technology within the machinery industry and key trends that continue to shape the industry today. We also introduced the advanced machine engineering solution at a high level, where you discussed three key differentiators: multidisciplinary design, virtual machine simulation and commissioning, multidisciplinary bill of material or BOM management, and configuration management. In our last session, we took a deep dive into multidisciplinary design. In this session, though, I'd like to kind of twist the conversation and shift over to virtual machine simulation and commissioning. What is virtual machine simulation and commissioning?
Yeah, so thank you, Bill. Thanks, everyone, for attending this series. I appreciate everyone's attention and hopefully get something out of this that maybe you didn't think about before. Virtual machine simulation and commissioning is what we talk about, broadly speaking, as it relates to how does the machine that I prove out to a customer physically on my factory floor, how can I do that in the virtual world? No one is going to buy a machine sight unseen. They're not going to buy your claims that, oh yeah, you virtually simulated this because you ran some software code. They still want to see that machine work and that before they let you ship it to their plant. But because of a lot of the software integrations and the safety factors of being able to, or needing to, I should say, run this machine, you don't want to do it for the first time, you know, with people around. You want to be able to do it in the virtual world so that when you get to the point of building or turning that machine on and doing the real commissioning, that it's kind of a pressureless, a less pressure environment for both everybody around it as well as your customers. So that's what we're talking about when it comes to virtual machine simulation and commissioning.
The way I see it too, it's a big topic, right, we're talking about today. Let's try and narrow it down for our listeners a little bit. What are some of the specific challenges that machine builders are facing where this approach could benefit them?
So this is a good point to kind of, I think, divide up our industry a little bit and talk about different types of machines and how their commissioning needs might be different, their virtual commissioning needs. So if we think about more of a production line, and more machine builders, at least we did this, you know, in the case of when I was working in the packaging machinery business, we were systems integrators. We would build our own equipment, of course, but then we would also buy third-party equipment. And then we would also have to build the intermediate pieces, right? So conveyors and all of that sort of thing, and all of the sensors that we'd have to integrate as well. So we became, in essence, what we call line builders, even though that wasn't our major focus of our business. So having that level of, you know, we needed to be able to prove out that every one of those pieces was going to work the way that we designed it and orchestrate that behavior so that it operated seamlessly. And sometimes that interface was a bit of a challenge. And so bringing those disparate systems into being and bringing that code together is somewhat of a challenge. And so that's one piece of it. A second area of machine development where virtual commissioning is very important, of course, is in robotic cells. Robots are, you've heard in the press, robots and cobots, and basically all of them are robotic integration where they've got a multi-axis capability of moving in lots of different directions. And usually what we have in those kind of cases is where the code that's embedded into the robot prevents it from doing things that are not efficient. You have more of a transactional relationship, and you have to get into that code with those robots to be able to extract that behavior. So a couple robotic cells, a traditional pick and place is not as much of a big deal. But when you're talking about integrating them for machining or for where there's continuous data that has to flow back and forth between the PLC code and the robot, that's where things can get really complex. And especially when you're driving machines to be more and more efficient, where you're operating near the edges of their capability and performance. And then some of the other types of trends that we're seeing is if you've ever bought things from Amazon, you ever wonder how they got it to you in less than an hour. There are whole factories, lights out factories of production systems, and it's an area that's growing pretty quickly called logistics automation. And so not only do you have the capabilities around behavior of a machine that's supposed to pick and wrap and do all of those kinds of things, but now you have autonomous capability around where you have a robot that has to seek out a certain SKU based on a warehouse location. And so the level of automation and the level of the need to do virtual commissioning is amped up pretty significantly, because now you've got way more pieces in play at the same time. You've got multiple robots roving through these factories, and you know, they obviously can't have them collide. And you know, so whereas in a robotic cell, it's usually a single robot or an orchestration of a couple different robots, and they have windows. But predominantly in these logistics automation, it's a bit of a free for all, where they each one of these robots has its own goal, and it doesn't necessarily matter to them if there's another robot in their way. So you have to work out those interfaces in a heavy, heavy different way. So that's a few of the different types of machinery companies and machinery integrators where virtual commissioning is becoming a really important part of their manufacturing, or their design, execution, and manufacturing strategy.
So even though we narrowed the scope a little bit, the challenges you just talked about still are vast. So help me understand how advanced machine engineering, and more specifically, virtual machine simulation, can help overcome these challenges. What exactly is the simulation approach or approaches that are being leveraged to address these challenges?
Yeah, so we started talking about the different machinery types of companies, but all of them there's different disciplines within this simulation world that we include in the advanced machine engineering, and we have in the entire digital industry software solution suite that involves simulation. One of the first is what's called a 1D simulation, or more appropriately, a system modeling. One of the capabilities is that before you decide how something's going to be powered, you can model it in different ways to find what the optimal approach is. Now, it's a line kind of drawing, a symbology, if you will, of behaviors. It's not really a design, a more traditional, you know, mechanical CAD mock-up kind of way of doing simulation. It's more an understanding of all of how the systems are powered, and what needs to be done, you know, what has to be done in terms of each one of the types of behaviors. And what they do is they overlay on top of that the different domains, whether it's pneumatics or electrical or what have you, you know, so that you can increase the fidelity of it. But it's because it's very simple in terms of it doesn't require you to build any CAD models or anything like that. You're working with symbols and connecting them together. It allows you to do a lot of goal seeking quickly, you know, failing fast and figuring out how things are supposed to work. And realistically, it's a new thing for a lot of machinery companies, but it's something that's been more common in the heavy equipment space up until now. But now it's starting to take root in machinery companies, and I'm glad, because it really is the best way to get to that optimal design and streamline the mechanical 3D portion of it, which is what we'll talk about next. in a more traditional 3D simulation world, I think most people are familiar with how they can take the CAD model and apply loads and constraints to them and get behavior out of the model, you know, where it's the high stress is. I remember a long time ago, if you remember the series on American Chopper, the older guy who was in charge of the company, who founded the company building custom motorcycles, he had his first exposure to 3D simulation, and he said, okay, so let me get this right. Red is bad and blue is good. Okay, I got it. So that, in a synopsis, in a kind of a humorous way, a simplistic way, if you will, 3D simulation can be explained. But I think what's more common today is that it's not just about static load cases and forces being applied to models. We need to think about different multidisciplinary or multi-domain kinds of simulation in the 3D space. So in addition to structural, which I explained, we also have fluids and behavior and vacuum, especially for packaging machinery, for example. We use a lot of vacuum to pick product and place it. And so the behavior of that from a fluid dynamics perspective is really important. You know, and so are things like thermal and vibration and acoustics. We have a customer who built a machine for us for our simulation group where they use heat rollers to form this package on separate films. So it became really important for them to be able to understand the behavior of the heated rollers and where it was effective along the entire length of that roller, and if there were other fluid portions of that thermal. So the air that goes into the system, you know, how it was impacting the thermal conductivity between the rollers and the film, you know, and then because it's a rotating equipment, incorporating things like vibration and acoustics into that, I mean, that gets to be pretty complex. But what we've seen is that as the machines are getting more fast and, you know, and people are expecting greater production capacities, these other disciplines and domains of 3D simulation are becoming more important to integrate into the mechanical design of in the advanced machine engineering design. And then I guess just a couple more points as we kind of work that through the process is, without doing, you know, all of that simulation, that upfront simulation is really, you know, is really good, but you also have to be able to test it out and not just virtually commission it, but you have to also do the physical testing. And so customers want to know, for example, and I'll use that thermal example again, that the bearing temperature doesn't exceed, you know, 30 degrees C or something like that. You know, even though your model said, yes, it will do that, you still have to have the testing capability to be able to prove out that the machine behaved the way that you designed it, you know. And then the last thing, which we'll spend, I think, a little bit more time talking about is around the whole virtual commissioning. So we'll talk about virtual commissioning as a set of capabilities in terms of simulation. So you're actually simulating the machine performance in the virtual world is really necessary because we're having more and more behavior of that machine that's being driven by software. And so in order to express that and know that it's going to behave the way that you want it to, you have to be able to test that code on a virtual twin. And moreover, I mean, it's more than just behavior, but there's also the physical safety aspect of it. If the machine collides in the virtual world, it's a lot safer for it to do that and a lot less costly to do that there than it is to do it in the real machine. Of course, it costs more money and it extends out your lead time and all the rest. And we might dive into that a little bit more detail. But having that virtual commissioning capability and being able to drive, you know, not just the behavior of the motors, turn on the motor, turn off the motor, light this lamp, turn this lamp off, those kind of capabilities, but also integrating that into the kinematics. So working it backwards up into the 3D simulation, that's pretty powerful because more often than not, we don't always have a real good handle on what the forces are for the 3D simulation. In other words, we tend to express it as best we know, but when the mechanism moves twice as fast as we thought it would, you know, the kinetic energy is a factor of the square of the velocity. So that actual impact load can be a lot greater than we anticipated. And so if you don't have a way of replicating the kinematics in your virtual commissioning software, you're missing out on potential hazards that you could see downstream. So those are some of the areas of simulation that we focus on when we talk about virtual, you know, the whole simulation suite of products in machine engineering, but especially on the virtual commissioning side.
Well, I mean, I think they're really interesting examples of the different way machine simulation and commissioning can solve the unique challenges. And I really appreciate you putting some real world examples into that. To continue that thought just a little further, you touched a little bit on this, but I'd like to ask you to dive a little deeper into what some of the benefits are for those manufacturers that go all the way and incorporate this virtual machine simulation and commissioning approach into their, they integrate it into their manufacturing process.
We talk about a few different capabilities, and I think it's important to just touch on these from an operations side. I mean, having experience on the manufacturing operations side of automation companies gave me a unique perspective. I was kind of what I would call a victim of engineering. So I where we started to press for more virtual commissioning and simulation in that process gave us benefits in operations that, you know, it was a lot more cost effective for us. We saw we could deliver in a more appropriate time frame. So if you think about it, that every minute or every day that I'm late in delivering a machine to a customer means X number of thousands of dollars that come off the bottom line for that particular machine sale. So it's important for the operations and manufacturing side of the business to deliver that machine as quickly as possible within the construct of the contract. All of these things that we're going to be talking about are really talking about risk mitigation, about schedule compression, and that sort of thing. So having that integrated simulation, you know, of course, it supports parallel engineering development, but what it does is it avoids me having to have a programmer sitting on the machine floor while the machine is, for all intents and purposes, mechanically and electrically complete for them to do their programming and code validation. And, you know, so it shortens up the overall manufacturing delivery schedule. And I think it's important, you know, as well to, we've got great experience from a Siemens perspective, you know, because we build our own hardware, we manufacture our own products, we can actually test those manufacturing processes out, and we can build a very tight integration between our software code development and the hardware itself. And, you know, so we've been able to test out this and been a leader in this whole virtual commissioning simulation for a number of years. The products that we have, I mean, this power of Siemens is just, you know, amazing in terms of the fidelity of the and how complete the capability of testing is around both the PLC code and the HMI integration. I haven't seen anything in the market that's close to it.
Thank you again, Bill, for the conversation today and taking us even further into the advanced machine engineering solution and looking at the advantages it provides machine manufacturers when they leverage a virtual machine simulation and commissioning approach. We look forward to the next and, unfortunately, final podcast in this series when we discuss how to leverage your data into a competitive advantage. Talk to you then.